I'm joined by Reem Alaf, Associate Fellow at Chatham House. Reem, I noticed you were reading the Assad emails with relish last night and advising your Twitter followers to read every word. What did you make of them?
Well, it's fascinating to read something which merely confirms, in terms of perception, what many Syrians have felt about the regime. Nobody really thought that they would be agonizing about the fate of all these Syrians who have been killed. And it is, I believe, the banality of these emails which is most striking. And it just fits within our notion of what these people are going through. The fact, for me, it's not really the amount spent. I mean, this is what you expect people like this to be spending anyway. But it's the fact that while people are being shelled and under siege and dying, they're exchanging funny links, what they think are funny links, from YouTube and shows and ordering things on the internet. I think this is what was most striking to me, and that's why I suggested that as many people as possible should read this. It was just fascinating.
In the sort of the luxury lifestyle of the Ben Ali's and Mubarak's and Gaddafi's had a big impact in those countries. What sort of impact do you think these emails are going to have in Syria?
Frankly, I don't think that this is the major. I don't think that this is a major interest for people in this. Everybody knows that they live a life of luxury. People who are much of lower rank than the cronies of the Assads live in luxury just because they're part of the regime. For most people, that's not going to be news. We've had 40 years, but especially the last 30 and 20 years, living in Syria, and you see the obscene display of wealth that all the regime cronies have lived in. Even people who are technically employees of the government, in intelligence and military. So frankly, for me, it's not surprising that the president's wife would be spending so much money on shoes or on furniture. That's normal. That's what's expected. And that's not new to anybody. What is not normal is that this should happen when the brutality of the Syrian regime and the damage unleashed by the army was at full strength in the last months of 2011 and in the beginning of 2012. We understand that they stopped in February, and these are the weeks and the months when Homs, for example, was besieged and shelled, and we have numerous testimonies. But these are the same. This is the same period when they're just living a normal life and chatting. You don't feel any agony. That doesn't mean that this agony would come through emails. But I can tell you that Syrian friends have had no heart to joke, no heart to laugh about many things. Nobody's in the mood to shop or do much of these things that you would do in normal circumstances. And it's that aspect which I found interesting, that these are people who live as if nothing else is happening and who continue to live, with the train of life that they've had forever. If it hadn't been for that one email where Esma Assad tells her husband, if we can get through this if we're strong, you wouldn't think that there was much going on in Syria.
You were reporting last night that your contacts said that the Guardian was being blocked in Syria. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, I really don't know, but several of my friends were still able to log into Facebook from Damascus and sent me private messages and emails saying, please send us the links, the articles by email, which is something I end up doing because we can't open it all of a sudden. And these are people who would usually read a number of broadsheets, including The Guardian. So, unless I'm mistaken, but, it's surprising that several of these people would suddenly not be have been able to access The Guardian. But, I'd like you to know that some people have already translated the main article into Arabic and posted it online. I think there's a wish by many Syrians in the opposition that other Syrians read about this. And as I said, I think it's not so much the spending as the fact that this normal life continues to go on, that, you know, they're on iTunes shopping and they're joking about things, while so many Syrians are despairing of receiving any help, medical help or food. This really is, for me, the strongest thing. The, you know, there's other interesting things. There's, you know, the media aspect. But we'd already seen, even before the Guardian's email big exclusive, we'd already seen that the daughter of Bashar Jaafari, the Syrian ambassador to the UN in New York, she had already advised Bashar Assad on how to conduct his interview with Barbara Walters. And frankly, it was pretty bad advice, and it was full of very, very naive and very, I would say, offensive to the American people, saying things like, "American people are very simple. You can make them believe anything." You know, funnily enough, I would have expected better advice, but also that it explains perhaps why the Syrian regime is so incompetent and has been for many years incompetent in dealing with the media.
Do you think the regime has been nettled by the leak of these emails?
I think the regime is annoyed to no end by this, because immediately, within a couple of hours, I made sure that I watched a couple of regime televisions, mainly State TV and Adunya TV. They were showing how easy it is to fake emails. You know, you have to realize a lot of people, especially regime supporters, are watching these television channels, waiting for confirmation on their side, confirmation quotation marks, that, you know, this is all a lie, a big lie. And indeed, on Adunya television, they had a very funny program with one person explaining, showing how you can get on Hotmail or Gmail and create an account under any name, but then have your username shown to people receiving your emails as Bashar Assad. So, and then they wrote lots of things to show how easy it would be to fake an email which would, you know, show the president of Syria saying things that he hasn't said. So this is their slant. Usually it takes them a lot longer to react to something. So they are very, very annoyed by this, and they want to make sure that they immediately instill the notion of doubt in the minds of their followers, that, you know, telling their people who follow them, you know, you have to realize anybody could have done this. And also with the blockage of The Guardian, as far as I understand it, and the reaction of one of the regime spokespersons yesterday, I saw him on Al Arabiya TV, really very excitedly and very excitedly responding to that big media conspiracy. I think they are not in a position to say much about them, and they didn't expect this.
Just finally, we at The Guardian are very convinced that they're genuine. Are you?
Yes, I read The Guardian's explanation about how The Guardian believes that they are genuine, and the way that they checked, and the number of people. And again, as I said at the beginning, I believe that what we read so far, and I hope there will be more published, what we've read so far, for me, confirms a perception we've had about them, that they're completely detached and uncaring about what happens to the country. There was a flippant remark by Bashar Assad in response to a very quick note by his wife when she said, "I'll be done at 5 p.m., love you." And he answers laughingly, "Well, that's the kind of reform I want, to know where you are." Not rubbish about media laws and politics. You know, it shows that these are people who never ever had any intention of being serious about any kind of reform. We people in opposition to the regime have always known that, but, you know, a lot of people who follow the regime still want to believe desperately that these are serious people. I believe that this shows that you know, it's too flippant and too short to be a big hoax. I do think that they are genuine. They fit an image that we formed about the regime over the past year, and I really hope that The Guardian can continue on this coverage.
Okay, Rin. Good to talk to you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.